when, if you are capable of understanding this dimension, this third dimension of tefillah, you reach ma'am. It's just, it defies imagination. There is something that I can train, in some which way that I can train, to become almost a Navi. And they keep on telling us that Navim are gone. They tell us Navu is over. Not so. Not entirely so. Line 186 at the end. At the beginning, Lazem Mukhshahu Halayla. And you've got to understand that this is the dimension of night. Bimenuchaso, with its serenity, vehit bodedito, and your aloneness. You're being alone because basically night secludes you from society. You've got to get in. Okay? All right, we have resources today that help us overcome the night. And that's the light of electricity, the light of fire. But if you look at it from a totally natural perspective, night secludes us because you cannot see, you cannot communicate. In the way the author of Chovos HaLevavos, Bach Yidin Pakuda, says in Shar Ahavas Hashem Perek Vav, where he talks about at length the Yitron Tfilat HaLayla, the advantages of davening at night, Shehu Me'afsher Lehipaked Gam the machazot nisaim u'kidoshim u'tvorot sichliot noraot, and it makes the most incredible kinds of impression. Now let me ask you something. I'm groping here. Is it not true, from the point of view of radio reception, the times when I used to drive in the mountains, and during the day I couldn't even get CBS from New York City, and we're only, what, 60, 70, 80 miles away from New York City. At night, I was able to pick up Philadelphia, so much more to the south. What, I mean, Yolandeyu Rabbeinu, what's the story?
The clutter in the atmosphere, the cloud cover is
the sun, close to the ground. The sun. It's called sunspots, which have
I mean, I'm not saying that this is it, but in, you know, if I needed a marshal, it's the Kabbalah speaks of the ability of the soul of the human being to be able to reach out so much more effectively when the daytime distractions are not around. And there's a sense of serenity for that the day's work is over, day is done, and you're alone. You're alone in the recesses of your own home. You're not outside. The hustle and the bustle of humanity has died down. That's the time best when you can reach out.
The night is always characterized again, as the lack of Torah. I read that, yeah, I don't know, what aren't you supposed to study at night? Is it Chumash or is it Nevi'im? I'm not sure. I went someplace.
The preferred is Torah Shabbat Peh at night.
That's right.
The preferred. Okay.
What? God cries at night.
Because Torah Shabbat Peh represents a much deeper covenantal relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Israel. The whole world owns the Torah Shabbat. Okay? Torah Shebichsav was given on the Har Sinai, which was no man's land. Torah Shebal Peh is Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai, who is the Adon HaNeviim, and he's the Rebbe of all Rebbes. Not to the world, but to Bnei Israel. That's our own national resource and treasure. Alright? That's the way it's been understood. Now,
I
hear what you say.
It's like a mantra, like a meditational technique. Meditation of Mishnayos through meditation. And to put people into a meditative state.
You know from these things, huh? You were an expert one time. I gotta take some lessons from you.
No, I mean, I know a little lesson.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. 190. Valpida kei yunim bodedim. And by setting off thought processes when you're alone, no distractions. Hamislaktim la'amaracha. And slowly but surely, they are gathered from all strains of thought, l'maracha, they come together. All of a sudden you're thinking about one thing, then a second thing, then a third thing, then a fourth thing, and all of these things aren't sources of distraction, but rather they are tools of concentration. And suddenly there is this great spurt of light, minoam Hashem, from the presence of being in the presence of God. Ashrei kol zochelo, fortunate is the one who has ever had this experience. And all this is tikarei hatfilah. This is what we're talking about, darling. A chill, a tinge up and down your spine, or something. Okay? Mitzad hayosok kolel azot hatachlis. And because you feel that you encountered God face to face, we call it b'shem pigiyah. We call it encounter. Kederech haholeich, like someone who is walking, who pogea, and suddenly meets someone. Lo lefi erech midas mahalcho shel haholeich, not how long you were walking, levado, ki im gam lefi erech midas kirvaso el hanifga hamatin bazeh. But it isn't that you took a walk for 3 hours, it's that 1 second when you suddenly met someone whom you didn't expect. V'chein haya be'emet b'Yaakov Avinu olam hashalom. And this was demonstrating Yaakov Avinu's vision of the chalom over there. Shevadai hishlimaso damken hatfila lo'so hachizayon hanevui hanisgav. You imagine you're being chased by your brother. You don't know if you'll be killed. There's only one thing you want in life. Oy, if I could only stand where my grandfather and my father stood at the Akedah and get some message from God the way they got the last minute. The way my father's life was saved. Now I need it. And then what happens? He falls off asleep, and the sulam. He has the vision of the sulam. It says something to him. Mareh ha-sulam v'chol pratak, shal keinich nityaches litfilato shev shein pegiya. And this is what we meant by encounter. Vayifka b'makom, v'hi matim alari. This is the emotional essence of alari. You've got to understand. Now, what can I tell you? Other than when Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen cooked Davin, it is certain that this is the way he approached Davin. No two ways about it. This is not esoteric Kabbalah. These are essential characteristics of the way we have to get up in Davin Shachris Mitzvah Maariv. And look, what can I tell you? Intellectually, we know it. We've studied it. I'm belaboring the point. But, you know, it's got to get below the intellectual surface. That occurs with a tremendous amount of work, and it has needs. Fortunate is the person who becomes totally frustrated with his or her routine of tefillah, and finally bangs the head against the wall and says, no, it's got to be different. I need something else. I need some other way. And it was fortunate. Baruch Hashem. I'm happy to say that many people are saying, yeah, I need something else. And whatever the case may be, however you go about doing that, you have to remember that these are the three different dimensions with which you have to use these emotional resources and these moral resources to be able to come to tefillah. In keeping with this, I want to stop here for a second, and I want to take a piece of actual siddur on a bracha, Atachonei L'Adam Das, with this page we also looked at in the past, but not this bracha. Atachonei L'Adam Das, on line 23. You confer upon humanity da'as.
We did
Kiddusha. No, let's do it. Atochon Eladam Das? I don't believe we touched this piece. We did Refa'enu, and we did Kedusha. Yeah? All right, but take a
look.
Yeah, all right. Now take, in light of what we said here, in light of what we said, now you can understand new kavona. What I'm simply trying to do is infuse this bracha the next time you say it. Let's say it's tomorrow morning with some new intent. Okay? If we did it, let's take
it
very quickly.
Do it again.
Let's take it quickly. Omar Ravami, 23, Gedola Deya. Deya is knowledge, insight. Shenitna b'tchilat birchas bracha shachol. That it's the first bracha of the middle sections of what we ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Explains Rav Kook, Geder HaDeya Hu Lishtamesh B'chol Davar. Wisdom, knowledge, does not come from book learning. It is the ability to use anything and everything. You remember that guy that I described 6 hours with the New York Post and sitting there and relaxing and watching the boob tube? Okay? A destruction of a half of a lifetime. There is absolutely nothing wrong with anything and everything that he or she does in those same 6 hours. If you can understand how to juggle it so that in these 6 hours you are greater as a human being and more insightful as a human being than you were before those 6 hours of relaxation. Shamsher Rafelhurst says it also. We talk about recreation. Recreation in American parlance is to kill time, right? Nonsense. Yeah. It's recreate your energies for the task ahead of you. If that is true recreation. And that's mishtamesh b'chol davar. You cannot say that reading a newspaper is treif, and you cannot say that listening to the radio is insanity, and you cannot say that having a television is tantamount to kfira. Gam hashafel shebatash mishim. The lowest kfira is apostasy, kofer ba'itar. Okay? Gam hashafel shebatash mishim. The lowliest of things that you use in this world have got to be used with tachlit ma'aleh, into some kind of direction that elevates you. There is no such thing in the world that can't elevate you, depending on how you come to it. Remember the bracha before Atachoni Lodom Das is the bracha of Kedusha. Kedusha is some kind of ethereal thing. All kinds of you know, theoretical things that you don't begin to understand practically. Is even though you don't have deep understanding here, it is simple. It's very simple that when you're dealing with Kedusha, that you'll do it properly. But here's the trick. Let's see you take that newspaper and make Kedusha out of it. Let's see you take that television and make Kedusha. And make it an uplifting experience. Okay? You need such proper insight and wisdom to be able to harness them to a proper kind of, you know, to a proper kind of topic. I'm not going out and telling you if you don't have television, go buy a television. I'm not going out and telling you if you have television that you should watch it. I'm not saying that. Okay? But anything and everything is a neutral factor. It's not good and it's not bad. It is what you're going to do with it. Kedas. This is what we mean when we say Chacham HaRoeh HaNolad. The wise man is capable of seeing the consequences of from anything and everything. And this is what we mean when we say B'chol Brachecha Da'ehu. The task, the most sublime task, is to be able to extract God in anything and everything that you do. And this is Shamar Bar Kapora, Shehi Palsha Ketana. These are three small words. It's a small bit of advice. But Kol Gufei Torah Tliimbo. You are talking about the whole fundamental of Torah. Zeh Bichlal Ma'amar Chazal, and this is when Ma'amar Chazal, what Chazal said in Pirkei Avos, Kol Ma'asecho Yiyu L'Shem Shemayim. What do we mean L'Shem Shemayim? Anything and everything that you do, you've got to be able to extract from there an understanding that there is some kind of divine quality. And about this, Kasav HaRambam B'Chamishin Mishmona Prakim. If you want to see what the way the Rambam gets us to understand this balance, this synthesis between Chodesh and Chol, Chodesh and Chol, or better still, how you are able to extract from anything which is secular that which is holy. You've got to see the fifth parak of his Shmona Prokim, his eighth Prokim introduction to Pirkei Avos. It is a very wonderful psychological study. Shehuma Amar Mufla, the Rambam says about these four words that, you know, B'chol Drachecha Da'ehu and Kol Ma'asecha Yilashem Shamayim. He says this is the most incredible Mufla. This is the, it means surprising, but it's astounding. It's an astounding bit of advice. V'ne'amar B'koach Elokim. And you are talking about people who understood this from a point of view of Ruach HaKodesh. Shechibu bo acherim sforim v'lo yishlimuhu. There is so much to say about this that books have been written and yet not finished. Alkein b'tchilas brachos shachol. When you start out in the morning, especially, I'm sorry, in a weekday, the first bracha of the middle section of Shemona Esrei, kisheyotzi'im me'inyinei ha-kedusha, when we're finished with kedusha, and uponim le'inyinei ha-chulin, and we get down to brass tacks, you know, the practical, tzrichin la'hakdim b'chat ha-deya u'tchilata. First, the biggest bracha that you can ask for, the biggest bakosha, the biggest supplication that you can have, is Ribbono Shel Olam, I got the world in front of me. It's all a world of chol. I should be able to have the sense to be able to juggle it, to make it kadosh. She'oz gam inyinei hachol kedoshim v'yidu. That's the challenge. Okay? To be able to take that which is so totally neutral and you call chol doesn't begin to seem like anything kadosh over there, you see, and make it into something which is kadosh. So now you see why we opt for the visible signs of kedusha. We'll wear a gargoyle, we'll wear a black velvet yarmulke, we'll wear beards, we'll wear tzitzis out. This is kedusha that has been cholized, that has become so vachadik, so prevalent, that we don't begin to understand what we're doing to them. But now reverse it. Let's see you take a bottle of soda and make it kadosh. How do you take anything and everything which seemingly is so unrelated to life's challenges to become kadosh special? You know, kadosh in TV. And let's see you make it that. So you know what that is? That's kedushas Hashem. It's the highest form of service unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the challenge. That's the bracha. You see. It doesn't matter whether it's on a computer or in a marketplace or going in Port Authority and meeting someone and trying to convince him that there's, you know, there's kedusha in what you represent on the floor of your factory or your stock exchange or your neighbor. And you see, in view of the occasion, I can only tell you this, that we sit here on what is called New Year's Eve. Probably if I said to you, hey, you know, I sent out 50 cards to all my non-Jewish neighbors on the block wishing them a happy New Year, you'd probably cringe. But interestingly enough, Rav Nachman Bratzlava was able to find a pasuk in Tehillim that indicated that the years for the goyim, and year means a sake of judgment and resolution, right? New Year's resolution, that it's a mitzvah to be able to remind the goy that another year is down the tubes and another year is coming, and hey, maybe you ought to reevaluate your life and your lifestyle. There's a God in this world. And,
When is Rosh Hashanah for the goyim?
Tonight. When the ball falls in Times Square, that's it. That's
not in the Mishnah. For Rosh Hashanah.
Fine, so we don't distinguish. In the Mishnah, we don't distinguish between Jew and Goy. Ayom Haras Olam. Today is the birthday of the world. And when the world was born, it was born with Jews and Goy, and with a Yaakov and with an Esav at the same time. It's two peas in the same pod, you see. Now, Rav Nachman Bratzlava was able to go, either Rav Nachman Bratzlava or Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. I'll have to check. It may be Rav Levi Yitzchak of the Berdichever, who was able to go ahead and infuse this seeming anti-Jewish concept, this Goyish holiday, with a kind of kedusha. Hey, the rabbi, you know, The holy man down there wished me a happy new year over there, and he told me I've got to be a good boy, I've got to stop thinking, I've got to have a better year than I had last year. You know what this does to the Kedusha Hashem, the Kedusha of the world? We don't see it that way. We don't see it that way. It's as simple as that. I went over to a good one, but when I learned this, when I saw this, all right, I'm not a chosid. What can I do? But it struck me, and I went over to a guy once, and I shook hands with him, and I said to him, he was having a hard time, I want you to know that I will remember you in my prayers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, you're talking to me. I can't even say Mishaberach. It should be good for me.
That's a great expression.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I meant it seriously. I meant it seriously. It was a decent guy. Oh, you had the same. You had the same. Right. Right. You had it. I forgot, Mike.
Did you get a job?
He said, God wills it. And all of a sudden, lights lit up in this guy's eyes.
Why do you still around? Jerry, give me a bracha.
He's got a problem.
All right, let's stop the machines here.